Transmitting sound. Download complete. Now launching audio stream. It's the Kelly Alexander Show.
We're excited to welcome you to the special edition of the Kelly Alexander Show, and we've brought in the amazing Nadia G from the Food Network's Bitchin' Kitchen to help you through the holidays with some excellent cooking tips. Our Almost Mother of the Year, Casey Savage, is also ready to go with tales of how she enjoys and survives the holiday season with her husband and three adorable boys. The one and only Mummy Alexander drops in to share a favorite Christmas memory from her childhood and a special holiday message. We also feature some special Christmas tunes to keep us in the holiday spirit from Wham and Mariah Carey.
Capture your need for sound.
As we celebrate the holidays here on the Kelly Alexander Show, I am thrilled to introduce you to my next guest. She's creative, funny, wild, and causing quite the commotion all over your television screens with her incredibly comedic cooking show on Food Network Canada, Bitchin' Kitchen. Nadia G, welcome to the Kelly Alexander Show.
Woo, thanks for having me.
Now, Nadia, you know, you are definitely a bright light on the Food Network with your show, Bitchin' Kitchen. Can you tell us how the idea for the show came about? Because we have a lot of people that are listening now online across the world.
Sure, no problem. Well, you know, I come from a food-obsessed Italian family. In my 20s, I got really into comedy. At a certain point, I realized that something was missing and that something was the food. And I'm sitting there asking myself, well, how can I get the best of both worlds, do the comedy and get the schkafa pasta fazool. And a light bulb went on, and I came up with the concept for Bitchin' Kitchen, which is a comedy cooking show. Every week, we choose a different topic, whether it's rehab recipes, breakup brunches, dysfunctional family pizza night. We have a few laughs about the topic and cook up a bitchin' meal to go along with it.
That's amazing. And I have to ask you, because, you know, I was going through all the stuff and watching, you know, clips and watching the show. How do you come up with these eclectic recipes and then the themes for the show, like you just talked about the breakup brunches?
Sure. I mean, you know, the themes, I just kind of, you know, it's important to write about what you know. So I think about the things that affect us on a daily basis, whether it's the recession or, you know, breaking up, you name it. And then I will find recipes that suit that occasion.
When I watch you on the show, you know, you have this incredible style and pizzazz with your wardrobe and the set and how you interact actually with the screen and obviously your viewers. I kind of want to compare you just a little bit to like being like the Lady Gaga of the kitchen. And I have to ask you how much work actually goes into your visual presentation with the clothes and the makeup and the set design.
Oh, thank you. That's a great compliment, the Lady Gaga of the kitchen. A lot of work goes into it. You know, the Bitchin' Kitchen is essentially my stage, and the clothes, makeup, inspirations play a big part in the show. And what it does a bunch of things. A, it allows me to express myself, and I believe everybody should be expressing themselves beyond a V-neck or a cardigan. So I get to express myself, but also it creates, you know, some fun visuals for the viewer. And what happens is, because of the fashion, because of the comedy, you get a lot of people that would never otherwise tune into a cooking show watching a cooking show. And ultimately, that's the important thing, is people are learning how to make a meal through edutainment. They're loving the show. I mean, we get emails every day from, this is the only cooking show my husband will ever watch. My teenage daughter is, you know, finally sitting down with me and watching some cooking programming or cooking a meal with me in the kitchen. And that ultimately is one of the most heartwarming aspects of having such a vibrant show.
And when you sort of step onto that set and into that kitchen set, do you put on a bit of a different persona by your wardrobe and how you have to be? Or is it Nadia G just amplified?
Yeah, it's definitely that. It's Nadia G amplified. Absolutely. You know, as I said, you know, this is the stage. This is where you give your all. You know, so it's kind of the way I like to liken it, is that, like, if you meet a comedian in person, he's not going to start doing stand-up for you. Right. On the spot, right? Or if you meet, you know, a rock star, they're not going to start performing their latest hit after they say hello to you. So definitely, Bitchin' Kitchen is the stage.
Joining us on the show right now is Nadia G from Bitchin' Kitchen. Make sure to check her out at bitchinlifestyle.tv or foodnetwork.ca, or most importantly, on her Facebook, facebook.com/bitchinkitchen. How important is it for you, Nadia, to have your sort of cast of characters that you have around you? Because you guys have quite the rapport.
Yeah, they're extremely important to the show. And what I did when I created this show is kind of looked at the Daily Show model where they have these correspondents. And I said to myself, well, wouldn't this be perfect for a cooking show where you sometimes need more in-depth food information? And so I have this crew of misfits, one of which is the spice agent. And he truly is a neurotic Israeli who is supposed to be talking about spices, but usually ends up telling us a little bit too much about his personal life during the process. Then we've got Spanos, the fish and meat guy. And his family's been in the fish business for generations. In Montreal, they have a shop called Le Goût de la Mer. So he really knows his stuff when it comes to ocean critters and meat. And he's like a little bit of a Greek Gino, and trust, he's very much like that in real life. And last but not least, we have Hans, the scantily clad food correspondent, which everybody loves. He's always shirtless, always greased up, completely ripped, total muscle queen. And he gives us the goods on the nutritional information and the health benefits of certain ingredients. And it just adds a lot of fun to the show.
Now, I have to ask you, Nadia, you know, tis the holiday season, and you have to tell us about Nadia G's Bitchin' Kitchen Christmas.
Oh, yeah, this holiday special, I love it. It's the first holiday special I've ever done. It's 1 hour. People have been asking for 1 hour of Bitchin' Kitchen since the beginning, so finally, their dream is coming true. And what we're doing is we're cooking up the Feast of the Seven Fishes with an international twist. So that's basically a traditional Italian Christmas Eve dinner called La Vigilia di Natale, and we're mixing it up a little bit. So we're doing a Tom Yum instead of a zuppa di pesce, which is a traditional fish stew. You know, we're making panettone bread pudding, which is a great recipe to have handy, because if you have any cheap Italian friends, you're going to be getting a ton of panettone this holiday season. At least you can make some bread pudding out of it. And you know, beyond the great recipes and laughs, you know, about Christmas and about the way families interact during the holidays, etc., I'm also airing the world premiere of my music video called A Bitchin' Christmas. And this song / music video is pretty epic. There's all kinds of food stars in it. Guy Fieri, Andrew Zimmern, Epic Mealtime, Vegan Black Metal Chef. I got everybody together to sing this holiday song. It's hilarious. And the best part is that the proceeds go to help Meals on Wheels charity. So that's always good fun.
And was it difficult for you to get your buddies from like the Food Network on board, or were they more than happy to help?
Oh, they were super happy to help. You know, we've had such a warm reception from the food celebrity community. I think everybody got a little bit sick and tired of watching someone cut tomatoes and be like, oh, I love tomatoes. Tomatoes can be so sweet in the summertime. It's like, yeah, get on with it. So when Bitchin' Kitchen came along, they were also pretty ecstatic about this new take on food entertainment.
And, you know, I want to go back to the actual dish that you're, or the dishes that you are preparing, you know, for the Christmas special, Nadia G's Bitchin' Kitchen Christmas. Why did you decide to go international, you know, on this holiday season?
Well, I do love a bunch of different types of cuisines. And sometimes, being Italian, you get a little tired of the tomato-garlic-parsley combination. It starts getting as old as that bubble bath you plan on regifting. So I was like, how can we jazz things up? And I just, you know, I kept the core concept, which is the seven fishes. But then, you know, played around with it to create a menu that's also a little bit lighter. Because, see, the problem with the traditional Italian Christmas Eve dinner is, like, this is crazy championship eating. It's like carbs on top of carbs. And what the international menu does is that it allows you to feast like a queen, but at the same time keeps it a little lighter. So you've got the ceviche in there, you've got a Tom Yum, you've got mussels and white wine and Meyer lemon sauce. So I've kind of, you know, given you the feast without the beast.
Nice. I love it. And I think that's great too, because, you know, you just mentioned about, you know, people tend to sort of eat so much over the holidays, and the fact that it's a bit lighter, I think that's an excellent idea. And I wanted to ask you as well, when it comes to these types of situations, whether it's Christmas or Thanksgiving, is it hard for you, or do you really enjoy coming up with like a whole, it almost feels like a set list, like a musician having to come up with a set list of what you're going to prepare?
Oh, that's a great way of putting it. No, I enjoy it. I really like it. And, you know, I do two different versions of it. Like the Christmas special is the sit-down dinner. you know, the not so traditional sit down dinner. But another thing that I love to do when I'm throwing a party, whether it's, you know, the holidays or Thanksgiving or just a general, you know, let's party, is create a buffet menu of dishes that taste good at room temperature. So that's always a nice strategy, because sometimes you want the sit down dinner. Other times you don't want to be running back and forth from the kitchen. You want to be able to spend your time on the important things, like catching up with friends or the Pinot Grigio.
That's awesome. Joining us on the show, Nadia G from Bitchin' Kitchen. Again, make sure to check her out, bitchinlifestyle.tv or foodnetwork.ca, or again, Facebook, facebook.com/bitchinkitchen. Nadia, I want to ask you as well, because, you know, again, we are sort of in this holiday season right now. And if people are hosting their family over the holidays, what is like a sort of fail-safe dish that they can serve, you know, for the hungry troops that they've got going on in the house?
Oh, there's a ton of great ones, A really simple one, honestly, is the scallop ceviche. Ceviche may sound intimidating, but it's actually extremely simple. All you need is some freshly squeezed citrus juice, so you could go grapefruit, lemon, lime, mix up all three, and then get your hands on the freshest seafood possible. Scallop that in there and little, you know, slice it thin, quarter inch thin. And then you throw in some fresh red hot chili. You can throw some pineapple in there for a little bit of sweetness. Pinch of sea salt, and that is it. You pop that in the fridge. And what I love most, you pop that in the fridge for about 20 minutes until the seafood is opaque. And here's the fun part, is that you grab martini glasses, you rim them in a little bit of lemon juice, and then you dip them in minced coriander. And it creates almost like a little Christmas wreath at the top of the martini glass, and then you slap in the ceviche, and there you have it. It's a beautiful holiday appetizer, and it takes you, 10 minutes to prepare, not even.
That's amazing. And I want to ask you as well, what ingredients, you know, should everyone have in their pantry to get them through the holiday season? Because, you know, you and I both know that people pop over, you know, sort of unexpectedly.
Well, there are a couple of ingredients which are key to always have in your pantry. One of which is aged balsamic, the good stuff, minimum 7 years old, because that just, you know, I mean, if you want to make a steak sauce, you just put, you know, equal amounts of that aged balsamic with maple syrup. You reduce it for a few minutes on medium heat, and you've got the best sweet and tangy steak sauce ever. You have some fresh strawberries. You just add a little bit of aged balsamic vinegar, and it brings out the sweetness of the strawberry. It also complements the tartness of the berry. Strawberries and balsamic is a very traditional Italian dessert. And what I love to do with these, actually, if you do decide to make strawberries and balsamic, get some frozen puff pastry, your favorite kind, okay? And then you pop those in the oven. And you remove the center of the, like, you know, the puff pastries for vol au vent. Is that what it's called in English?
Yeah, I think so. Sounds right to me.
You know the ones you use for chicken a la king?
Yeah.
Yeah, you get those things.
Okay.
So you remove the center once they're cooked, and you stuff them full of St. André cheese, or your favorite brie, or your favorite camembert once they're fresh and hot out of the oven. So you got the cheese in there, and then you just mix some strawberries with aged balsamic, and you pop that on top. A couple of crushed nuts. I'm telling you, this appetizer is to die for. It can also be used as a dessert. So, you know, you have some balsamic, a little bit of puff pastry in the freezer, you're set. You can create a super Spack app or dessert.
That's awesome. And I wanted to ask you too, because you just mentioned dessert, is there something that you know, Nadia G goes, you know, crazy for on the holidays for the sweet tooth?
Oh, yeah. Well, I love chocolate. You know, any kind of chocolate works for me. So I'm constantly munching on the Bacis or the Ferrero Rochers, or, you know, all that stuff.
For people who watch your show, and I know there's a lot of them out there, you look fantastic. And I just wanted to ask your opinion, you know, because everyone is trying to take care of themselves, especially over the holidays. I know that sometimes things can get carried away and people can overeat. What do you tell people who, you know, love food? Because I know you love food, but you still manage to look just fantastic and very healthy.
Well, you know, it's hard. During the holidays is not the best time to watch what you're eating. You know, you got to have a good time, and food is everywhere. So you're probably going to end up doing what everybody else does, is eat whatever you want and then pretend you're going to go to the gym in the new year. The fact is there's a couple of things when it comes to staying fit. And one of those important things, which I don't know if that many people know out there, but kids, okay, kids get all their body's fat cells under the age of 6, if not even younger. So basically what that means is that as you get older, you don't get new fat cells. You expand the ones you have. So it's super important to feed young children properly, because if you create an obesity in a child at a young age, they're going to have many more fat cells than they're supposed to have, and they're going to be, you know, more prone to that crazy kind of weight gain than other people. So you have to give kids the right start. Then with other stuff, I mean, you got to pick your battles. If you love to eat, you got to work out. Or if you love to eat and you don't love to work out, well, then you just got to stay mushalit. You have to choose what you want. I work out like 5 days a week.
Okay. I figured. You look great. So that's awesome.
And the other thing, too, if you want a quick tip, lay off of the meat. You know, like people eat way too much meat. Italians traditionally would eat meat once a week. And if you cut down on the meat and make more vegetarian recipes, watch how much sodium you put into stuff, watch how much oil you put into stuff, you're going to drop pounds really quickly. You know, with olive oil, there's 14 grams of fat in 1 tablespoon of olive oil. That's half the fat found in a burger. So one has to be mindful when they're, you know, olive oil can be really healthy, but at the same time, 2 tablespoons of olive oil, you know, drizzle here, drizzle there, you've consumed a day's worth of fat. You haven't even eaten any solids yet. So one has to always measure their fats, always watch the sodium intake, and try and stay away from big saturated fats like red meat, etc., and eat that on occasion.
Now, Nadia, what is up next for you? Because you are, you know, everywhere. It feels like you're conquering the world. So many people are just falling in love with Bitchin' Kitchen. So where do you plan to be in like 18 months to 2 years?
You know, I love doing this show. So hopefully there'll be many more seasons of Bitchin' Kitchen to come. I'm working on another series now, which I'm really excited about. We're working on a feature. I love doing comedy songs, so, you know, I have a couple of those that I need to produce in the next few episodes, and, you know, hopefully more of the same. What's nice about the Bitchin' brand is that it really allows me to spread my creative wings, you know, whether it's writing a song, designing a cookbook, designing an apron. I really, you know, can get creative in so many different ways, and hopefully can continue to do so for a long time to come.
And something too, you know, you are a very successful young woman now. Like you've created this and it's going forward and you're doing your thing. What do you tell other women out there who may have an idea in their head for whatever it is, and, you know, maybe they're not sure what that first step should be?
Sure. You know, I mean, often you hear people who are successful say things like follow your dreams, they do come true. And I agree with that 100%. But what they forget to tell you in the fine print is you got to work 12 to 15 hours a day, 7 days a week for 10 years to get it.
Exactly.
That's in the fine print. So what I would say is that, you know, we're really lucky. We live in a digital age. If you want to start a project, you don't have to wait around for someone to green light it. You could do it yourself, get your hands dirty online. But at the same time, one has to be willing to put in the work and the patience and feel the heartbreak, because it, you know, as the old saying goes, an overnight success 10 years later.
Excellent. That is so true. And Nadia, what's coming on? Because I know, like, you know, we have the holiday special coming up again, Nadia's G's Bitchin' Kitchen Christmas. Where can people, you know, watch this?
Well, people can watch this on Food Network Canada. We've got it on Sunday, I believe. You have the date there?
Yes, December the 23rd, from what I gather. And I think it's coming on at 11 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. Eastern.
Exactly. So tune in on the 23rd, and you're going to have the greatest time watching the Feast of the Seven Dishes with Bitchin' Kitchen and a bunch of awesome surprise guests.
Excellent. Nadia, thank you so much for your time. It's just been so much fun to speak with you.
Thank you. I've had a blast.
That's Nadia G of Bitchin' Kitchen. Again, make sure to check her out, bitchinlifestyle.tv, foodnetwork.ca, again on Facebook, facebook.com/bitchinkitchen. And don't forget to check out that holiday special if you're in Canada on the Food Network on December 23rd at 11 a.m. and 5:30 Eastern.
I'm Nadia G from Bitchin' Kitchen, and you're hanging out on The Kelly Alexander Show.
KellyAlexanderShow.com.
Well, it wouldn't be the same if we didn't play a little festive music here on The Kelly Alexander Show Christmas Special. And, you know, everyone has their own favorite Christmas carols or Christmas tunes over the holiday period. And one particular song that just continues to do incredible things, you know, pretty much 20 years after it was released, I think it's at year 17 right now, is Mariah Carey and All I Want for Christmas Is You. And I was actually doing a little bit of research earlier to just sort of see how the song has done over the years. And this year, it will return yet again to the top 10 songs over the Christmas period because everyone just loves this song. It also is a very popular ringtone over the holiday season, and it just continues to make everyone happy. And obviously, Justin Bieber was smart enough to enlist Mariah to re-record the song for his Christmas album because it is such a timeless classic. And Mariah Carey actually spoke about the song, saying that she's like, who knew when I wrote this song all the way back in 1994 that it would have such a lasting impact? And she's very humbled by the fact that the song continues to do well each and every holiday season. So to put us in a great mood, because this song is just so upbeat and fun and totally festive, here is Mariah Carey with All I Want for Christmas Is You on the Kelly Alexander Show Christmas Special.
I don't want a lot for Christmas. There is just one thing I need. I don't care about the presents underneath the Christmas tree. I just want you for my own, more than you could ever know. Make my wish come true.
I am thrilled to welcome back to the show our almost mother of the year, Casey Savage, who writes for her blog of the same name and who also appears regularly on the Home Shopping Network. Casey, thanks for joining us on the program this week as we get into our holiday season.
Ah, it is that time of the year, is it not?
It's true. And Case, I have to ask you, when I say these two words, I want you to tell me what pops into your head. Christmas time.
Vomitorium, except actually no, because that's associated with the positive from the Roman era, where it's more of a negative in the savage household.
I see. So you're going to have to explain this to us, but I guess I should start off by asking you some of your Christmas traditions.
Oh, yeah. Well, we've got a few around here, and I grew up with some fantastic Christmas traditions, and so did Brad, so we want to pass that along to our kids. So one thing we love, 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 and just will not forego, no matter what happens, is cutting down our own Christmas tree. It's kind of like a Chevy Chase, Clark Griswold type of a thing that we do, and every year, the hilarity that ensues from misjudging the size of the tree out in the forest where you have no concept of your ceiling height.
Nice.
Always results in, like, one year, basically, it was about 12 feet tall, and we have 8-foot ceilings, so that posed a problem. We had to basically turn it into a smaller tree altogether. And then the year following, we overcompensated and ended up with Charlie Brown's Christmas tree, where it's probably 4.5 feet tall. You just have no concept out there. They need to have, like, you know, an 8-foot stick you carry around to measure it up in the forest.
Now,
but that's probably our main tradition.
And I have to ask you about the cutting of the tree. Do you go to, like, a tree farm, or do you actually just launch into a random forest?
Well, that's probably illegal around these parts. I'm not sure there are any random forests where I live. They're probably all owned by someone. So we go to a tree farm where we pay way too much money for nature's bounty. And then this year, just, you know, we've decided to mix things up. Usually we're the Fraser fir kind of a family. But this year we've gone the white pine route. And from what I'm looking at, we cut this one down end of November. I'm going to say that come Christmas, we will have maybe 5-6 needles left on the whole tree. Not looking good.
Not looking good, eh, Case? I was actually going to one. I was asking, in my head, it came to mind. I was like, you know, how early do they go out if they cut their own tree? Because, as you know, I'm a farm kid, so we also cut our own tree, usually. And the thing is that we only get the tree around the 18th. But you have yours at the end of
18th.
November. Yeah.
Well, you probably cut it for free. I want to get bang for the buck. I'm not going out there 1 week before Christmas and shelling out $50 on something that I could cut out of my own backyard. No.
Okay.
Usually we do it first week of December. It didn't work out this year, so I said, you know what? We're going to have to take our chances. And I don't, if I wake up and all that's left is decorations, I am just too proud to care. I will just have to deal with the fact that my house is covered in needles. Right now, there's probably about 600-700 needles on my floor. But I've thrown some lights and glitter on it, and I'm calling it scenery.
Excellent. I love it. I love it. Now, okay, so we have the cutting of the tree, and then what other traditions do you got going on?
Oh, another amazing tradition, which I relish, is how everyone seems to get a gastrointestinal virus right around Christmas time. Like, that's one of our traditions. Some people make their own eggnog. Some do baking. Yeah, we throw up around here. That's what happens around here. Sometimes, you know, a little diarrhea, mostly throwing up.
I see. And does this happen, like, on Christmas Day or prior to?
Well, it's usually whenever you have the most important event to go to. So the kids, somehow their body just senses when we need them to be in the best health possible, and it just unleashes the beast wherever. Last year we were at one of my husband's cousin's houses when my eldest decided that that was the best location for his gastrointestinal virus.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So this year they're coming to our house, so I've already got, you know, I purchased some throw pillows that her kids can sully and destroy, as Wyatt did theirs last year.
Wow. Now, did he not know? Because he's 7, right? Or 6?
He's now 8. So
okay.
Last year he was 7.
Okay.
And we've been shuttling around to all these events, and he was eating a lot of junk. And as we know from previous phone calls, I don't sanction junk eating. So I said, you know, it's your own fault. You're eating so much junk. But truly, it must have been a virus that... And they always just like to pace themselves and wait, like, let's see, we've got 18 people in our house. This seems like a good time. And then they'll just, you know, waltz into an open area, and we know what happens after that. Dot, dot, dot.
Right. So he didn't even, because I was, my point about asking the age was, like, I figure, like, after 5, they're able to tell you if they're not feeling well. So he didn't even do that.
Oh, yeah, he did say that. He did say we're not feeling well, and I said, too bad, because I thought it was an excuse for us to get out of going to this relative's house.
Oh.
I had the "you're going to tough it out no matter what" kid attitude, and clearly it backfired.
I see. Okay. So we got that down. So every year, like clockwork, one or all get ill to the stomach.
Ill to the stomach, or some strange childhood disease you don't hear too often about. They tend to get those as well, like the hand, foot, and mouth disease.
Just
stuff you usually associate with cattle that seems to hit the kids. Although we don't live near a farm or any livestock.
I see. Now I have to ask you, with the illness, has it ever happened like right on Christmas, or is it always just kind
of around? Oh, last year was me that hit right on Christmas. After I'd cuddled about four babies, I realized they felt kind of sweaty and hot. And then I had just enough willpower to keep it in until all the guests had left and I'd contaminated everyone. And then I went to bed and didn't wake up until the 27th. So,
oh, my Lord.
Okay. It was not good. Yeah, that was my year. Last year was my year. It was
okay.
My moment in the spotlight.
Good for you. So we go from cutting the tree to the illness, and then I feel like there should be some kind of lighting thing going on. So do you guys do the light thing? Like putting up lights?
We do. We string up some lights, and because we are completely inept, my husband and I, at these sorts of projects, something always goes wrong. So this year I've gone just bare bones. I mean, we tried to dangle them around the perimeter of the house last year, but my husband only put one clip every 7 feet. So when we turned the lights on, it's just this droopy garland of lights that was just a complete humiliation. So then this year we went a little smaller scale. We decorated the shed in the backyard with lights.
Nice. So is it magical? Like, is it reminiscent of some sort of cottage in the woods?
It's a winter wonderland, I tell you. Except for the fact that we have no snow or cold temperatures this year.
I understand. And with the lights, is it something that the boys want to help you with, or is it simply you and Brad?
No. This is where Brad and I get to, you know, test the strength of our marriage. Because no matter what, we will be having the world's biggest fight. And then we'll see how many hours it takes for us to come out of it. And we never go to bed angry, but we definitely spend the day enraged.
That's fantastic.
That's how our relationship works, and it's a beautiful thing.
Around the holidays. Okay.
Yeah.
Joining us on the show is Casey Savage, Almost Mother of the Year. Make sure to check her out at almostmotheroftheyear.blogspot.com. Now, Casey, knowing you, I know that you want your boys, you know, to grow up to be nice, young, affable men. So I'm sure that Christmas for your family is not just about receiving gifts.
We try every year to do something charitable. Instead of getting the teachers, you know, a mug for a thank you present around the holiday season, usually I'll make a donation to some sort of charity that helps impoverished kids or fills up the backpacks of underprivileged kids in Canada. Something kind of education related, and we'll give that to the teacher. And I hope this teaches the kids something. And then last year we decided to donate a bunch of blankets to the local animal shelter to help dogs out that, you know, so often around the holidays there's even more animals than usual filling up these shelters. So we collected all the blankets and the towels and we brought them to the shelter. But even as I'm trying to do these good things, the kids still somehow managed to turn it into a negative, hostile event. It's just mind-blowing.
So what happened then with the dogs then? Was it chaos?
Well, they just fight over it. It's all me, my blanket. Like, I'm trying to teach them about you, about giving, about others. And then the entire time in the car, they're shredding these blankets to pieces, screaming about who's giving it to the three-legged dog with the glass eye and who's giving it to the roadkill we just ran over because I wasn't paying attention as we were driving to the animal shelter. It's just this big production that everyone gets there angry. Someone's crying. It's usually me. It's just a big to-do over nothing.
Now, I have to bring this up because you mentioned the gift giving towards the teacher, and that reminds me of school. Do they have, like, school pageants that they need to sort of be ready for in the holiday season?
No. You know what? Not really. My eldest son's school is a bit too large to accommodate that, so they've done away with it altogether. And it's more the non-denominational holiday musical festivus is what happens at the schools now. And, so, you know, my middle son has a concert this week, and he told me that he's holding a red nose over his head, and he's mouthing the words to a pre-recorded song. So that's as far as it goes these days.
I see. So lip-syncing, you know, central.
Yeah. They're already working on their lip-syncing skills.
That will come in handy.
And if they have the voice I have for singing, this will serve them well.
Okay, very nice. Now, you briefly mentioned before about the food, and you and I both know that you don't sanction the junk food too much. So when it comes to holiday food, what sort of happens in your house? Are you like the chef extraordinaire and it's healthy or what?
Well, I kind of throw that out the window a bit at the holidays. Oh, guess what? Side note, I made my first full-fat recipe the other day.
Look at you!
Can you believe it?
I can't even.
Actually, come to think of it, my youngest did have diarrhea recently, so I don't know if that's connected. I'm just saying.
Okay, it might be an issue.
I might not be going to the full-fat again. But I did do full-fat. We enjoyed it momentarily. I felt guilty about it afterwards, and I'm going back to the half-fat Christmas cookies again.
Okay, I see. And what was the full-on fat that you made?
The full-fat recipe I made was chocolate coconut macaroons that I even added a little tiny, maybe 2 cups of Kahlua to, just to give them a little something. Just a little je ne sais quoi.
Right, to get them going for the Christmas season.
Mind you, they also might have been a titch moist to form macaroons at that point, but more of a soup. Let's call it a broth.
I see. Very nice. So now as we march, you know, to these holidays or through the holidays, what's going to happen on Christmas Day and like New Year's? Like, are you going out to family? Like, do you have to make the food? Is it a buffet of food? Like, how does that work?
Well, this year we're having Christmas here, which I tend to do since I'm a control freak. And
right.
We're having 18 people over, 5 of which are boys under the age of 8 years old.
Oh, God.
And basically, I used to have this grandiose idea of how it would be this spectacle of just magic and food and festivities. Now I'm just laying the towels out upstairs on the kids' beds, getting the buckets ready, and basically hunkering down for the old gastrointestinal virus. It's every single Christmas, without fail.
Nice. Should they not puke, are you having like a potluck? Like, are family members bringing stuff? Or are you responsible for all the food?
Should they not puke, I will be looking outside up towards the heavens for the pigs with wings. Because there is not a chance that will happen. But thank you for your optimism.
I'm all about that. Staying positive on the Kelly Alexander Show. And you know, I know you mentioned now that these 18 people are coming over. Is it a battle over which family you spend it with? Or have you and Brad come to like a good agreement over the years that it's give and take?
That's a touchy subject, and I would like to refrain from commenting on it.
I see. All right. So
hit a sore point. I'm still not over it.
I see. Does that mean Quebec family not coming up to Ontario? Is that what that means?
No, they do. That's the problem.
Oh,
move along.
Okay. So speaking of you know, the next step, I guess, is fun and frivolity around the Christmas tree with the 6 needles. How do you and Brad decide on gifts for the boys?
Well, I usually get them absolutely everything they do not want, because I will not get them anything they want, because whatever they want is just absolutely ridiculous. I don't even know where they get the ideas, because they don't watch television with commercials. So where they come up with these insane ideas? For the past 8 years, 1, 2, or 3 of my kids want their own actual vehicle. Like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Sure, Santa can fit a car on his sleigh. Furthermore, why would a child be given a vehicle? It just doesn't even add up. A Jeep, to be more specific, is what they want. And then this year, my 8-year-old claims he wants an iPhone 4. And I don't even know what an iPhone 1, 2, and 3 are, let alone 4. And furthermore, he's never called a person in his life. Why does he need a telephone? He doesn't even know how to use the cordless phones we have lying around the house.
And he wants an iPhone 4.
Well, 1 year, he wanted an easy bake oven. And I, being the modern mom that I am,
right,
even though all of my friends said, do not buy him an easy bake oven, I bought him an easy bake oven because I thought, you know what? Santa, you know, is all about fulfilling wishes, and I think I'll go get him an easy bake oven. He got his easy bake oven. Do you want to know how often he used said easy bake oven?
Once.
No, it never came out of the packaging. Never. Except when it was being sold at the next year's garage sale. That's when it came out of the packaging, and someone bought it for a toonie, $2. Oh. So this year, I'm all about what I think is best for them, because their ideas are, a little pricey. You know, I like to stick to the double-digit price range, not so much the $40,000 Jeep price range.
Right, because they need to be Mac Daddies, apparently.
Even though if you add up all the rages, they're still not old enough to drive.
Oh my God, that's awesome. So speaking of the kids then, like, does it work that Santa brings gifts and then mom and dad also gets gifts? Like, how does that work?
Yep, Santa brings his gifts for the kids, and then we get the kids a couple other gifts as well. And then, of course, you've got the stockings, which,
right.
you don't want to get an onion in your stocking. Did you ever get the onion in your stocking as a kid?
No, I got the bad, the stale chocolate, you know, wrapped in that wax paper. That was awful.
Oh, see, no, that actually sounds like it was supposed to be a quality gift. Ours was the threat of, if you're not good, you get an onion in your stocking.
Oh, I never tried. That's awesome.
It was just like one of my mom's cooking onions that she was going to use anyway that night. She thought the night before, oh, I'll just toss an onion in there, keep them on their toes.
Nice. I love that idea. I'm going to use that. I'm going to use that for further.
And
can
you know,
I borrow
I
that?
Actually like onions, so I don't even know why that was so bad. But anyway, I love onions.
Wow, that's awesome. So then, now is it quote unquote Santa that brings the stockings, or do they think it's mom and dad that are filling stockings?
Santa does some of the stockings. Mom and dad top them up with clementines to make them look full.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I actually was just talking to a friend of mine the other day about the clementines, and like, we've all got them. So I'm happy.
Perennial stocking stuffer.
Exactly. It just tops it right up. That's awesome.
It does.
Okay.
It makes it feel heavy.
Yes.
When they get those single packages of Kleenex and stuff in there and the chapstick, they're not disappointed.
It's all about the chapstick. That is fantastic. I have to ask you as well, do you leave out cookies for Santa?
We sure do. Actually, another tradition is all the kids have taken turns right around the age of 3 or 4. I take them to a pottery place and they make something for Santa. So Noah's made a plate for the cookies. Wyatt made a mug that has little paint chunks around it to rip Santa's lips when he takes a sip out of it for a swig of milk. And then Spencer's got the bowl for the reindeer. He puts a little water in there for the reindeer. And we're all set to go. Nice little tradition there, too.
That is awesome. And I have to ask you now, and again, this is all, you know, putting positive vibes your way. Should all boys be healthy on Christmas? Is Christmas morning chaotic for you and the fam?
No. See, the kids like to wake up, I'd say, last year they slept in. I think they woke up at 4:45. So that's the a.m., in case you're wondering.
Nice.
So Brad and I usually are in a coma on the couch with bedhead. You don't see many photos of Christmas morning, put it that way. And then there's just this, like, tidal wave of wrapping paper in all directions. And then you just, like, you have to just sit back and take a deep breath, and then you look at your watch and it's 4:47 and it's over.
And do you let the boys, like, open all their presents in the morning, or do they have to wait for their cousins and stuff, like, later? Because we always had, like, some morning stuff that we were allowed to do, and then we kind of had to wait for the fam, like, the extended fam to come over later.
It just never ends. They do the morning stuff, and then probably 20 minutes later some relatives show up with more gifts. And then we'll go somewhere for brunch and there's more gifts. And then someone will come at lunch and there's more gifts. And then someone will come for lupper, which is between lunch and supper. And then there's more gifts. Then someone will come for supper. Well, there's 18 people, and then there'll be more gifts. And then at the end of it all, I just have to give everyone a general thank you, because I have no idea where anything came from. And, like, literally to this day, we are finding toys that haven't even been opened from the previous year. It's just consumer insanity.
Wow. Now, I have to ask you as well, once you sort of march through Christmas, does New Year, like the New Year's Eve, is that like an adult thing for you and Brad, or is there no such thing because of the boys are like 8 and under?
The New Year's Eve actually is an adult thing. It's where we go to bed at 9 p.m. and recharge our batteries for Jan 1.
I see.
We like to kickstart the new year with a solid 8 hours sleep.
I see. So if I say this out loud, like, you have not seen a midnight maybe in a while on December 31st?
The last time I saw midnight is when I was pushing Spencer during his birth, trying to deliver him, and that was not by choice. If I could have had some more Z's, I would have. But nature was calling, and I had to get him out. But that's literally the last time I've seen midnight. That's the last time I've seen anything after 10:30.
I appreciate your efforts. That is awesome.
I understand parents with young kids that like to stay up late.
I know, it's odd.
The sooner I go to bed, the less I have to clean the house, because I can't clean and sleep at the same time. So I try and sleep as long as possible.
I gotcha. Okay. And I have to ask you too, you know, because you are almost Mother of the Year, what do you say to your fellow moms as we march through this holiday season? Like, do you have any tips of advice or some sort of like savvy quote to get them through the chaos potentially?
Well, I think any mom who has, you know, normal kids and is listening to this has probably been nodding the entire time. They too probably have 7 needles on their Christmas tree remaining. And I also have probably 7 seconds of patience in me at this time of the year as well. So it's all about numerology, shall we say.
Excellent.
7 of this, 7 of that, 7 times someone will vomit over the holidays. It's the magic of Christmas is what it is, and I just love it. So, you know, it sounds like if you've been listening to this thinking, wow, that sounds bad, you're wrong, because I love Christmas. I look forward to it. I could do without the vomiting. But if that's the worst thing that's going to happen to our family at Christmas, I will take it. Pass me a bucket and some Mr. Clean.
You go, girl. Now, I, you know, we've been talking about the gifts and the food and all that kind of stuff. And it would be remiss of me if I didn't ask you, you know, what sort of holiday music you enjoy. There has to be like a holiday song. I know for myself, there's a few. I really enjoy The Last Christmas from Wham and, you know, the Mariah Carey, All I Want for Christmas Is You. Casey, what song screams Christmas for you?
Scream is the operative word on this one. And it's a love-hate. It's a real love-hate. But Christmas is not Christmas without Bruce Springsteen's Santa Claus Is Coming to Town. Because it sounds to me like he just ate a handful of tinsel and washed it down with some mistletoe. Have you heard a gruffer voice in your life? And it's almost like halfway through the song, it just keeps me laughing. I think, this is finally Christmas when I hear that song. But halfway through, it's like he's not even trying anymore. He just doesn't, he stops singing completely and he just says, Santa Claus is coming to town. Ba-dum, boom. Santa Claus is coming. You know the one. You totally know the song. And when you hear it, you too will be laughing along. I think he thought he was doing a good job. He might have also been smoking something. Because when I listen to it, I'm not hearing Vocalist of the Year.
I see. Well, for all the Bruce Springsteen fans, Casey's right there with you. That's awesome. Casey, thank you so much. And I want to wish you and Brad and all the boys a very happy holiday season. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kelly. You too.
That's Casey Savage again, Almost Mother of the Year. Check her out on her blog page, almostmotheroftheyear.blogspot.com.
It's the Kelly Alexander Show.
The Kelly Alexander Christmas Show special would not be the same if we didn't talk to the one and only Mummy Alexander. Mummy Alexander, how you doing?
I'm perfect, thanks.
Excellent. Well, you know what? Before we start talking about Christmassy stuff, I know that a lot of our listeners have followed you on your journey through breast cancer the last couple years, and you and I haven't actually talked on the show for a little while, so I thought I would just let you give everyone a little bit of an update. How is Mummy Alexander doing?
I try to do one day at a time and enjoy each day for what it is, the best way I can.
And health-wise, everything is great.
Very good.
Excellent, Mummy Alexander. So as we move forward to talk about Christmassy stuff, which I know you enjoy very much, the last couple of years on the show, you have come on and we have done a Christmas gingerbread cake. Last year, you made a cocktail, the fruit cocktail that you always have every Christmas morning. And this year, I was going to harass you to make something else, but I then decided that you and I haven't chatted for a while, so I thought that this year I would let you off the hook and actually just talk to you. And so a question that I wanted to ask you about, actually, with regards to Christmas, do you have a special memory from when you were a kid about, you know, the Christmas holidays and how it made you feel?
I loved Christmas as a little girl. We lived on a farm up in the hills in Rawdon, and it was usually very exciting. We used to go to Montreal once every Christmas morning for a dinner in Montreal with relatives. But this one memory that I have was there was a horrendous snowstorm. It was a really bad evening, and I believe it was right after Christmas. I was probably about 9 or 10 years old. Because it was so windy and scary for me upstairs, my parents let me come down and sit in the dining room where the Christmas tree was. I remember I had this gift that I had got from the church hall from Santa. And it was like a little, like a sort of like a little puzzle with all little pieces that you had to glue together and make. I believe I made a church. And so I remember specifically, and because it was such a wicked night outside, it was just, I felt protected and warm beside the tree, and I was up at night, and it was, and of course we had a wood furnace, so there was warmth, so it was different, and it's a memory that stays with me since then.
That's excellent, Mom. And you know, I wanted to ask you as well, because now, you know, you are not only Mummy Alexander, you are also Grammy Alexander. You have little munchkins that run around. We have the three girls and my nieces, and then also my nephew Tyson. And what I wanted to ask you is it different being a Grammy at Christmas as opposed to when, you know, me and my sister and brother were little?
Definitely, because now my responsibilities are not as, you know, it's not such a demand on me. I used to have to do, you know, a lot more work for the workers at the garage and with my parents coming. And so now I'm more laid back and I'm really enjoying the little ones. I especially enjoy watching them open their gifts, where I probably didn't even have time to watch you guys open your gifts.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think you're fairly busy making the fruit salad. So before I go, I know that you always usually have a little special message for the good people that listen to the Kelly Alexander Show. So I will turn it over to you and let you say your little Christmas message for, you know, Christmas 2011.
Well, blessings at this Christmas time, and enjoy every moment with your families, and the very best, healthiest New Year 2012.
Excellent. Thank you, Mummy Alexander. And again, it would not be the same if Mummy Alexander did not join us on the special edition of the Kelly Alexander Show Christmas special.
Bring on the remix.
Christmas, the Kyra 2011 remix on The Kelly Alexander Show. Well, I want to tell you that I'm very grateful to our guests who join us on our very special Christmas edition of the show this week. I want to thank Nadia G from the Food Network's Bitchin' Kitchen. Also, almost Mother of the Year, Casey Savage. Not to mention, a big shout out to my mama, Mummy Alexander, for stopping by for a few moments. The team and I would also want to wish you a wonderful holiday season and all the best for 2012. Thank you so much for supporting the show over the last year, and we promise to do our best to make the program bigger and better as we march into 2012. Have a restful holiday. You and I'll chat soon.
The Kelly Alexander Show is hosted by Kelly Alexander, produced by Esteban Vargas, Barbara Purcell, Chris Paré, and Kelly Alexander. Original themes and production music composed by Ian Campbell. Thanks for listening.